Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Isaiah 54, can you go there with me? Isaiah 54. There's just so much going on in life. I just want to encourage everybody in your continued patience with this COVID stuff that we are, you know, I think that Maine is just now coming to reality that much of the country has been in as numbers are increasing. We just need to remember to remain patient. We need to remember to be flexible and joyful. We need to stay connected. But, you know, I think this is a real moment also that the Lord is inviting us to take inventory and to audit our hearts and minds right now. And I think that's really important because, you know, one of the obvious things that could happen in these moments where, is anybody else just tired? You know, it's like these constant changes and these constant, like, daily fears. Some of you have gotten the phone call, hey, just so you know, I might have had COVID, like, not just in your everyday life, every school and every workplace and every business and everywhere you go. Like, it's a reality in our life, and we're having to live in the constant daily anxieties of like, wondering what it is and the changes and how the changes from the government affect our lives and the way that we live and the way that we do church, the way that we do community, and we got Thanksgiving coming up, we're coming into the holidays. And then you throw in an elections that's now is going to become a legal battle. And my gosh, it's a season where obviously, like, we could really, if we really start to align our hearts and minds to the current, temperature of society, it'd be really easy to start to reevaluate hopes and dreams and longings in our heart and kind of demean them in the process of just trying to be okay with where we're at in life right now. And I feel like this is a moment, like a really cool moment for us to take inventory and to audit our thought life and to audit our family, to audit our heart and where we allow our imagination to go and our fears and our conversations and to really just like acknowledge where there's a deficit of guarding our heart in this season. And like guarding our joy and guarding our peace and remembering what's important. That we are important, that you are important, that my neighbor is important, that there are things that are going on that we're calling really important, but they're not as important as some of the stuff I'm sacrificing in this season. Like my joy is way more important than some other stuff going on that I'm giving all of my affections to. My family's connection and peace is so much more important than some of the other stuff that I'm having to work through right now. I'm saying all that to say is that this is a really amazing time for us to kind of like take inventory and to remind ourselves so that we have to put in the hard work and be strategic to stay connected, to be flexible, joyful, stay connected to our community, everything that's going on, and then to let the Lord like really speak in this season. Because if we're not listening to his voice, how many of us know there's a lot of other voices that definitely want to take a seat of honor in your life, right? And I want to read Isaiah 54 because today at the end of this, I'm going to share about some really exciting stuff that's going on. But I feel like this is just the beginning of maybe a sermon series because I feel like this is the testimonies of what God has been doing and what you don't even know that God has been doing is gonna really play into the idea that we are not actually in a season of hopelessness and barrenness, but we're actually in a season of increase. Do you trust me? We're really in a season of actual increase. And I wanna read this, and because Isaiah 54 represents a mighty and awesome theme that's laid out all throughout scriptures. Isaiah 54 verse 1, it says, "Sing, O barren woman, you who have not born. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will expand to the right and to the left. Your descendants will inherit nations and make desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." Now, this theme of like, God in this moment speaks in this prophetic imagery, speaking to a woman with barrenness and saying, hey, I'd like you to start making room for the children that are gonna come from your life. And hey, I'd like you to start singing and getting excited about it. Now, I need you to understand the kind of the theme here is that God is saying, I want you to see things that are not as though they are. And that scripture is all throughout the stories of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. That God is continually inviting us to see things that are not as though they are in his reality, in his world. You know, I think about, how about the story of Jesus when he's invited to raise a young girl from the dead and he walks in and everyone's mourning over his death and he says, everybody get out, she's just sleeping. You guys remember that? And he actually declared a reality that was not natural, but he saw spiritual, because what he saw was an opportunity for awakening where they saw death. And he goes, get out of the room with your lack of faith because she's just sleeping. And Jesus declares an alternate reality than what the world was reporting. How about the story of Elisha when he's with that young servant and they're surrounded, the whole kingdom is surrounded by their enemy and chariots and armored men. And he says, we don't have anybody to match up against this. And he goes, let me pray for your eyes. And he prays for his eyes. He goes, look again. And he sees all these angel armies surrounding the kingdom that are ready to fight. And he says, there's more for us than there are that are against us. And the prophet says, look again, because you're looking at it through the report of the world, not through the report of what I see in the reality of heaven. How about Jehoshaphat and his worshiping army, where he's surrounded and they just go into the field, completely ignore it, and decide to worship the Lord and put their eyes on him. And then the Lord fought a battle for him. How about when God calls Isaac in Genesis 26 to that he says, I want you to sow your seed in the land that I've called you to. And Isaac's like, did you realize that there's a famine and no one is sowing their seed? And he goes, sow your seed in the land of famine. And it says that Isaac produced 100-fold return on his seed and became abundantly blessed and the richest in all the land, because while everybody else had nothing, because he did what God called him to do. Everyone else said famine, and God said, sow your seed. How about Israel? Man, like, you read the stories and it's just like, where was their vision? I mean, God delivers them supernaturally with 7 plagues out of Egypt, and then he opens up the Red Sea and divides the waters and leads a whole nation out of captivity and into what they called the wilderness. God led them by a cloud by day and a fire by night. He produced manna for them every single morning. His glory showed up on an entire mountain where God supernaturally carved words into stone that would instruct them. And then God caused all of his glory to pass by Moses, and his face was radiating with the likeness of God himself. And they said, God, you have departed and you are not with us anymore. They're calling it the wilderness of wandering, when in reality, can we all agree, that was heaven on earth, baby? Like, God was showing up in the ways that we our hearts long to see him show up. What would you do if I showed up one morning ready to preach and my face was shining in the likeness of his glory? Would you be like, wow, God is far from this place. Take us back to Egypt. Of course you would. You'd be like, oh my God, what is happening right now? You know, like, God is near. And they could have either seen it as a wilderness of confusion where they were lost and dead in the desert, or they could have said, this is heaven on earth and we are on a journey into our land of fulfillment. Canaan, the promised land, is just before us. And God, you are so leading us divinely through this season, and you are a God of your promises. You know, it's a theme all throughout scripture that God is inviting us to see from his reality instead of the report of the condition of the world around us. And I look at, in Isaiah 54, I want you to get in the imagery of what is being said here in Isaiah 54. He says, sing, O barren woman, for great will be the children, your offspring. They're gonna inhabit the nations of the earth and take over desolate cities. So I need you to start getting ready and start making room for all the children that are gonna come through you. And then he goes, and hey, by the way, completely forget about all of the shame that's been connected to your barrenness and the widowhood of your life. Because in that culture, if a man married a woman and he went about, you know, they went about life trying to have children, if after a few years he's finding his wife is barren, he had a legal suggestion to divorce her. And she would carry a scarlet letter that she was a widow that was barren and could bring no children, which means that no man would want to marry her because she could not produce a family, which was finance and security and a future. So when a woman turned out to be barren and could not bear children, the result would be a scarlet letter upon her life. She would go about walking in shame. Most of these women would not have a home. They would not have a future. They would not have a husband. They would not have a family. And nobody wanted to touch them or go near them because they believed they were barren and cursed. Could you imagine telling a barren woman, hey, I want you to go and make room for your family? There is such a mark of shame that she's forfeited all of her dreams and all of her zeal for the days ahead and all of her hope for what's coming. There is shame upon her life and there is hopelessness, and God comes along and says, actually, I want you to completely ignore the report of the world over your life and the shame that's been casted over you, and I want you to get ready for increase because I'm your husband. I'm going to marry you, make covenant to you, and the condition of the world is not going to influence the days ahead for you. Does that make sense? And he goes, not only do I want you to completely ignore it and start getting ready, he says, I want you to sing with joy out of expectation because great will be the children that come through your life. You will be fruitful, O barren woman. And this is so important because how many of us know that we are living in a day, an hour, and a moment where the report of the world is that we are living in a moment of barrenness and we need everyone to hold on and survive, and everybody is having to kind of reevaluate their future. And what does this mean? And it would be really easy in this moment to go, well, this is the world that we're living in, and because this is the world that we're living in, I need to start planning for a future where this is my reality. And so I start reevaluating all of my decisions, and I start detracting life, not making room for increase, because we're not in a season of increase, we're in a season of barrenness. And so if I'm listening to the report of the world, and let's be honest, you don't have to be a prophet or a believer to go, yeah, we're in a season of barrenness. Businesses are going out. People don't have jobs. The future, there's literally no promise from any governmental leader about any future and any possibility or timelines. And you know, we don't know who's going to be the president in January after all these legal battles. You know what I mean? Like, we have no idea what the future brings. There's never been a more moment where the natural world around us is literally telling us and demanding be hopeless. The report is you are barren and walk around with the shame of the barrenness of the season that we're in, right? But there's another voice from heaven saying, but I am the Lord of the hosts of heaven. I am your maker, and I'm going to be your husband, and I am a promise keeper, and you are not in a season of barrenness. Start singing and making room because I'm faithful to all my promises over your life. Right? There's another report, and God's inviting the church to ignore the report of the world. Ignore the report of the future. Ignore the report of barrenness and start to identify with his promises and go to war saying, you are faithful to do all that you said that you would do. And this is the invitation that we're being brought into. This is the invitation, is that we would call the season of barrenness actually opportunity for singing, and we would make all of our decisions off of God's promise to fulfill and not actually start doubting his promises to fulfill and start detracting and start, you know, insulating in this life. We all right? You know, and I say all that to say is because this is a really important, like, prophetic vision moment for your life to get eyes that see and ears that hear. And that we would start reporting over his promises and not reporting over the things that are missing. It'd be really easy to allow the what we're currently experiencing here, even in the church, you know, weeks on, weeks off, you know, a church that is probably 400 or 500 people is having services of 50 to 60 people, you know what I mean? And the chairs are all separated and everything is different and normal. And I want to present to us that our gathering sizes, the anxieties of our day, the weeks on, weeks off, these are not reflections of what's really going on. It might be what you currently see, but it's not actually a real reflection of what's going on. Because from what I see is I see signs, wonders, and miracles breaking out in people's lives. And what I'm about to show you is that what many would call, man, what a barren season for the church, I'm gonna help you see actually this has been one of the most fruitful seasons as a church that we've ever been through. And I'm not even just talking about like, wow, we've learned a lot. No, I mean fruitful. That people are getting radically saved right now. That families are getting radically restored and healed. We're gonna spend weeks talking about testimonies of what God's been doing this season, because I am dang vigilant right now about changing the report of our day that we're living in right now. And I don't care if we got to do some guidelines and have smaller services. None of that's a reflection of what God is doing. That's just what we have to do in this hour to continue to move forward. You know, and to keep making the main thing the main thing. And in this season will end, but I need to make sure that as a church community, we're not measuring our hope off of the communication of the world. But we're measuring our hope off after what God's actually doing and his promises.